There is no better playground in England, and certainly none easier of access or more cheaply to be enjoyed.
Those are the words of George Christopher Davis from 1883. His book, The Handbook to the Rivers and Broads of Norfolk and Suffolk, was published a year earlier and ran for 50 editions. Many people would argue that it was he who did more than anyone to draw the outside world's attention to the leisure potential of the Norfolk and Suffolk Broads. Of course, in his day, the railways were opening up vast swathes of East Anglia. But in Broadland, it was still the wherry on the water and 2 feet on land that propelled locals and visitors alike.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome.
Good morning.
This morning we shall go off through...
Another Wednesday and another walk. The Norwich Ramblers meet for one of their regular midweek trips into the Norfolk countryside, this time from Salhouse Church. Anne Forder is in charge.
The Broads is excellent. You get lots of birds, lovely scenery. Most of the walks are easy. You could probably go on one every day of the week.
Some lovely paths linking up the villages and the Broads. We find a lot of hidden gems that you wouldn't see from a car, particularly some lovely old buildings in the old villages and lovely churches.
You don't actually have to be a member of the Ramblers. If you're on holiday and you look on the website, you can sample the walks to see if you enjoy it. We've got a group that does like 4 miles. It's a short and leisurely group. And another midweek group does sort of 6, 7. This group does longer, 9, 10, 11. Depends on the leader and the footpaths.
There's a walk for everyone, and several of them are mapped out for you on the Broads Authority website. Joy and Charles Baldero are perhaps Norfolk's best-known walkers.
The first thing he asked me when we met was, do you like walking? And we've been walking ever since, and we've been married for over 30 years now.
This redoubtable couple have written a weekly walking guide in the local newspaper, the Eastern Daily Press, for over 2 decades.
I think we've done about 700 or 800 walks. So I suppose that would take us about 7,000 miles.
And with all this experience, Joy and Charles say that the Norfolk and Suffolk Broads offer some of the best walks anywhere.
Nothing can match it, I don't think, walking round the Broads.
It's pretty good walking, generally speaking. I mean, most of the paths round the Broads are in good condition. Obviously, after a lot of rain, they can be muddy. But I don't think we've ever come across any really flooded paths, have we, on the Broads?
No, we haven't.
Well, underwater.
No.
When we've been doing some of our other walks for the Eastern Daily Press, we've actually had to take our boots off and hang them around our necks. But we've never had that on the Broads. We've always had a dry walk.
Good dry walking in one of Europe's most important wetlands. That's very Norfolk, as they say in these parts. But whatever the weather and whatever the time of year, there's always something to see.
It changes. In the winter, it's quiet. In the summer, you have all the holidaymakers who like to sort of wave to you and shout hello, and you wave back. You've got the birds. You watch the grebes diving or the herons feeding, and then you look at the banks and see, I wonder what animal has come through that narrow path to get into the water, perhaps to catch fish. You hear the reed birds in the reeds. And then, of course, on some of the broad walks, you've got the hides.
It's good for photography as well, of course. You've got so many different things you can photograph. The wildlife, the wind pumps, sometimes windmills as well. All these little riverside holiday homes. Some of them are very attractive and very unusual in shape. There's some very peculiar ones around Potter Heigham. So it's really good for photography.
Of course, also the beauty of walking on the Broads is it is flat. Not all Norfolk is flat. But the Broads are, and you can see for tremendous distance. I'm looking round where we're standing now, and the views are tremendous.
Joy and Charles Baldero, and their walks appear each week in the Eastern Daily Press. Those views that Joy was describing are easily appreciated, whatever time of year you visit the Norfolk and Suffolk Broads. But if you're interested in particular plants or wildlife, you do well to listen to one of Britain's foremost nature writers, Richard Mabey.
Do your homework first. Try and get a guidebook, get some really good 2.5-inch maps, and look for where there are interesting footpaths that will take you on a circular walk with a good mix of habitats, you know, a bit of river, a bit of an open broad, a bit through some grassland or reed bed. I think then it's really just a question of maybe changing your attention. You won't get very much in the Broads if you keep your eyes fixed on the ground in front of you. You need to develop a bit more of a roving eye to scan the far horizon, which is very far in some parts of Broadland, you know, maybe 3 or 4 miles away.
That's the thing you notice about walking in the Norfolk and Suffolk Broads. One moment you think you're cocooned right in the middle of a reed bed, and then suddenly you take a turn in the path, and there before you is the most marvellous view across marshes and dykes. Richard Mabey has spent much of his life living on the Chilterns north of London, but now he's in East Anglin, and Broadland is his inspiration. So who better to advise on where to walk?
If I was suggesting somewhere to start, the circular walk round Strumpshaw Fen on the very west of the Broads at the RSPB Reserve there is quite wonderful. You go through every sort of habitat, through reed beds, through some wonderful orchid-rich meadows, along streams, and in the Great Tower Hide you can go up and have this panoramic view of the whole Strumpshaw habitat, which is sensational. If you don't want to go on prescribed trails, there are plenty of footpaths as well. My favourite starts at Horsey Mill and you walk kind of northwards towards Waxham over marshy meadows and through reed beds. And this is the great walk for seeing the winter roosts of birds, because this is where 80 or so marsh harriers roost in winter after a spectacular fly around at dusk. It's where the cranes roost. Always at dusk, you'll see barn owls over there and 10,000 pink-feet geese. So it's a maelstrom of fabulous activity. And if you're not interested in birds, it has some great broad scenery. In winter, you have a lot more water. Many of the kind of grazing marshes get partially flooded, and you get lots of duck and golden plover coming down onto those. But in summer, the buzz of the deep broads is almost Mediterranean to me. This tremendous sense of parched heat above a reed bed, swallowtail butterflies and hobbies hunting for dragonflies, which are just abundant throughout the broads now.
Richard Mabey. That's it for this podcast. Remember, if you're walking in the Norfolk and Suffolk Broads, respect this wonderful wetland and make sure you've got good footwear and the right sort of clothing. For walks, places to eat and where to stay, just take a closer look on the Broads Authority or Visit Norfolk websites.